Hey guys, and welcome to a brand new episode of Power Up and Game. My name is Taylor, and I'm going to be your host today. It's really weird hosting this show. Michael, our usual host, is out of town. We were not supposed to have an episode today, but we managed to scrounge together a panel here. And joining me for this special episode is none other than Drew Garrison of Nerds Talk Movies and the Lombox Hunters.
I'm back, baby!
Drew, how you feeling, man? It's been a while.
Well, it's good to be back.
I guess for a while on this podcast, I guess.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. I love the fact that Overwatch is expanding into Marvel. Like, that's a really neat idea.
Yeah, okay, full stop. This is the main reason why Drew's on the show. Yeah, if you listen to Nerds Talk Movies, you know that all three of us, Drew, myself, and Tristan Benz, are huge Marvel fans. I decided to throw the invitation out there, like, hey, you guys want to talk about this Marvel game that just got announced? And Drew immediately was like, fuck yeah, sign me up, let's go.
Like, I couldn't resist, guys, I'm sorry. By the way, I know for all the Overwatch people listening, I know it's sad to know that Overwatch is going to now have competition and it's Marvel of all things, which is a really big brand, but think of it this way. Now, they have no excuse but to try.
Yeah, I don't think Overwatch 2 can get any worse, so having competition, it's got to help them. You got to figure. And hopefully Marvel Rivals can be that competition, which we're about to get into. But before we get into our show today, we got to do a quick disclaimer. We just want to say that you can find sources for all the topics we're going over today down in the description of this episode. We do that to give out proper credit, and if anyone wants to read further about the topics we cover. Also, it's important to note that you should always take rumors or reports we cover with a grain of salt until they are officially confirmed or denied. Of course, some reports and rumors will be more reliable, but nothing is 100% in the gaming industry until it is properly announced. And sometimes, even then, it might get canned in the future. Lastly, we are just two dumb idiots who love video games and love talking about video games. These are just our opinions. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of anyone on our team or over at the Nerd Stash. We'd love to hear your thoughts on everything we'll discuss today, but please just try to remain respectful. With that disclaimer out of the way, here is our main topic of the week. Marvel announces a 6v6 hero shooter game called Marvel Rivals. As I just said in the title, Marvel and NetEase Games have announced a new multiplayer game called Marvel Rivals. This game is a third-person 6v6 hero shooter where you can play as various Marvel heroes and villains using their unique abilities and team-ups. Basically, Marvel made their own version of Overwatch with developer NetEase Games, composing a team of former Call of Duty and Battlefield developers who will be at the helm. Marvel Rivals is a free-to-play game with a closed alpha set to arrive in May. As of this recording, the game is planned for just a PC release via Steam and the Epic Games Store. We will see if that changes as the game's development cycle progresses. Getting back to the reveal trailer itself, it was essentially a brief first look to show off several of the characters and their abilities, along with two ways Marvel Rivals plans to stand apart from Overwatch or even Smite: destructible environments and team-up attacks. Both are pretty straightforward. Players can destroy certain parts of the map, presumably to make the opposing team take a detour to the objective or other strategies. With the team-up attacks, it's exactly what you would think. You team up with another player and create a new attack with both of your characters. For example, in the trailer, we saw Rocket Raccoon and Groot perform this move. I think you also saw Iron Man and the Hulk as well. While I personally wouldn't classify this as a complete roster, Marvel Rivals does have some notable names that seem respectable enough for a starting lineup of fighters. Just to list off a few, we got Spider-Man, Iron Man, Magic, Magneto, Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon, Groot, Doctor Strange, Storm, Loki, and Black Panther. Doctor Doom appears to be the overarching big bad as well. There's also Namor, but from what we saw in the trailer, I have to question what he actually brings to the table, other than just throwing spears. And before I forget to mention it, this game was actually leaked earlier in the week, including images of its roster page and details of what the game will entail. It should be said that a good chunk of that leak was proven right in this trailer here. Marvel Rivals plans to introduce more characters and maps each season, and you would assume this is going to follow the typical free-to-play mode model, for better or worse.
That means if you want more skins, guys, you better pull out that cash.
Yeah, that's typically what it means. So you gotta assume we're gonna get some free content, probably even those heroes and maps, but it's probably gonna be monetized in some kind of way. I would guess a battle pass for sure. That's probably, if not confirmed yet, something that you could probably just go ahead and write and pen. Drew, let's not talk about the free-to-play stuff. That's the stuff that we're going to really harp on in the future about this game, I have a feeling. Let's talk about just our initial thoughts about this trailer and there being a Marvel game that is akin, like we kept saying in the intro and in this story here, akin to Overwatch.
Well, Marvel Watch 2.5, the new Overwatch edition. Okay, gonna just need to run that joke into the ground, guys. I'm fine. So, Marvel Rivals. Okay. For one thing, I loved the costumes from the get-go. I could recognize nearly every character. Took me a bit to recognize one of them. But it's like, I like the way it looks so far. It's like, this is like what I wanted from Overwatch 2. And just didn't get in Overwatch 2. But, yeah, this is like exciting for me, especially as a Marvel fan. And also the fact that the MCU has sort of dulled a lot of Marvel stuff down. Now we're getting some... the video games is where they've been getting like some good Marvel content. And this one also seems to like the lore. I mean, I haven't seen Galactica in years. And she's like front and center... She's like front and center in the commercial and everything. The trailer. It's like, ooh. Ooh. I'm enjoying this. My only gripe with it was, like, we got Luna Snow over Dazzler. I'm like, okay, I like Luna. I really do. But give Dazzler some love. She's the first music Marvel character. Hell, she had a whole musical theater thing with the comics and everything. It was, like, one of the first times they put a CD with a comic and introduced sound. Like, keep Luna in there, but, like, give Dazzler some love, guys. Give her some love. She's the queen of disco. Has roller skates and everything. She's, like, perfect for this game.
I am glad you brought up Luna, because this is a character I did not recognize at all. From what I know, she was introduced in another game, I believe.
Possibly. Am I right about that? Like, I remember her from War of the Realms. There was an event in the comic books. That's where I first saw her. She possibly could have been introduced in the games. I wouldn't be surprised.
Either way, she was the character that I didn't recognize at all. And I was like, man, no offense, but we could have got a big name in there. She's the one that really stands out to me. Even with Penny Parker there, that as much as, you know, Penny Parker is it's a pull, okay? You're pulling that character from the Spider-Verse, and there's some clear, you know, comparisons you can make with another character in Overwatch, sure. But I get why they included Penny Parker in this game. Like, there is a benefit to it. With Luna, I'm not saying there's not a benefit. It's just that I was like, man, you couldn't have found somebody with similar power sets. Because the starting roster, like, one of the main complaints I do have about this is that we're missing some big names here. No Thor, no Captain America.
Well, they didn't show up in the gameplay trailer, but you still had, like, Storm, Magneto, Wanda.
That is true. I think, like I said in the blurb, it's a respectable starting lineup. I'm just saying, if I were to look at it critically, like, nitpicking-wise, that would be the one character I was would be like, you know what? Maybe that could have been a character you add later on. But other than that, I love this trailer. I thought this was a fantastic first look. It's exactly what I wanted out of this from I was reading about the leaks the day prior and going like, man, this sounds like a really cool idea. I was just imagining in my head what it could be. The next day, Marvel puts out this trailer and I'm like, yep, that was it. Exactly. Good job, Marvel. Yeah. Just don't fuck this up because this could be something. Honestly, I think this could be a big multiplayer game. I really do.
Agreed. And with all the cool stuff that they've been, what they look to put in, and it's like, it seems like it's gonna be fun. I mean, they already have the Asgard map and everything. You have Loki showing off that he can copy other abilities. You have team attacks, something that we didn't get in Overwatch 2. Thanks, Overwatch. And it looks like that you can do stuff with it. Destructible environments. It's like everything you just wanted some of your video games to do. Not gonna name any more names. And it's like they put it in a game. It's like even the stuff that looks like sort of kind of ripoff, it's like, I don't care. The game looks good.
Yeah, I mean, there's room in the industry for hero shooters and games to rival the Sieges and Overwatches. And I'm glad that we're seeing Marvel come up with an idea like this and try to emulate a lot of that success. Where I have some hesitation is with NetEase Games, who are known primarily for not major projects, mostly more just PC and mobile stuff. So we'll see there. But from what we saw in this trailer, I'm very pumped, man. There's a lot of, you mentioned like the destructible environments, the team attacks, all that was really cool. Doctor Strange looked like the MVP of the trailer to me.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the man's setting up teleporters to where Spider-Man's just jumping in, he's crowd controlling. And then later on in the trailer, you see Doctor Strange like put up this like Reinhardt shield for his team. And I'm like, man, this is, you're just a juggernaut, man. And hell, who knows, Juggernaut might should be a character they had later.
He should be a tank. He should be able to bust he through would fit this perfectly. Enemy lineups. It's like he would fit.
Yeah, so he would fit this perfectly. I think he would be an easy addition to this roster. And you can kind of tell, I don't have it here because this is a few hours after the game has dropped and not a whole lot of information has been revealed about this game. But I remember reading something about there's not going to be any specified roles. Like, there won't be something. We're going to just have a lot of comparisons to Overwatch. It's going to happen, so be ready for it, audience. But it's not going to be something like Overwatch to where you're going to have attack, healing, support, all in, like, defined roles in the character selection.
So it's merely you got to learn the abilities.
Yeah, because I think what they were going for is every character is going to have their benefits and their negatives, and it's going to be up to you to figure out what those are for the role that your team's going to need it for. So I think that could work out. My one concern gameplay-wise is it becomes more just DPS period over strategy like tanks and healing. Because that's another thing that I think makes Overwatch so great is that team comp kind of mindset. Like, you got to have a good team to succeed. You don't want to be like I guess the closest thing I think of is like a Call of Duty, to where it's like, oh yeah, you just pick whatever character you main all the time, and you just go out there and you get 30 kills and you win. And that's all that happens. Like, you need a little bit of teamwork. You need that strategy for a game like this to work.
Yeah. In truth, I am worried about the balance a bit. But, like, I feel like this, from what they've shown, it's like they're going to, like, try and keep it as balanced as possible. I mean, stopping an enemy or being able to teleport is just as important as being able to kill an enemy. Every role is important. So I can't wait to see what they do with it. It's really interesting to see in every and all the and again, like for comic fans like me, there is a lot of comic knowledge being put in here. It's interesting. They have obscure characters that people probably wouldn't know about unless they like picked up a comic book, got lucky, or played a game.
I imagine a lot of people don't know who Magic is. I barely do because of like New Mutants.
Guys, Magic is way better than what she is in the New Mutants movie. It's like this woman, literally, she is a mutant whose powers connect her to hell that gives her access to magic, and she was literally tricked by a demon as a kid to be raised in the hell that was her powers. Like, this girl has issues. Also, for those of you who know Colossus, you know, from Deadpool or from the X-Men movies, you know, big metal guy, that's his little sister.
Colossus would be a big addition as well, pun intended there.
See for him, I would love for him to like just like be a shield to like walk in front of allies, take the hits, and he just takes minimal damage. Whereas Juggernaut, I want him to plow through enemies. Like, this guy is gonna like treat your heroes like they're bowling pins, and he's the bowling ball.
See, Drew, what you're doing right now is the reason why this game can succeed. Because a lot of people are doing the same thing you're doing. Where you're going like, man, here's what they could do. They could do A, B, and C. They could add this character, and this is what this character could be like. Because Marvel has an insanely deep roster to pull
from. Oh, yeah.
And if you're telling me that we also have, like, it doesn't seem like there's any limits in this game. Because we're getting Spider-Man as well. And we all know Spider-Man in video games is a little complicated. So,
a little bit.
Considering we're getting Spider-Man in this game, and there's some X-Men, there's some Avengers, haven't seen anybody from the Fantastic Four yet, but there's also rumors, there's stuff in the leaks that Moon Knight might be a character, so there's the Midnight Suns, Doctor Strange is already in this game, confirmed 100%. So you have a deep roster that you can get into. And a lot of people are doing exactly what you're doing, Drew, where you're like, oh yeah, Juggernaut could be this more DPS-like tank that can just plow through enemies, to where Colossus can be more of that defensive, stay behind my shield and I'll help you out, mitigate damage. That's the stuff to me that NetEase and Marvel, y'all gotta nail it. Mm-hmm. Y'all gotta nail these abilities and make the strategy part of the game worthwhile. If this ends up being just a straight-up shooter that's more like... I hate to keep saying Call of Duty because I don't feel like that's accurate, but it's the closest thing I could think of, that just mindless shooter, it's not gonna live on for years and years. Like, if you actually can make a game like Siege or Overwatch in that way, the word team comp matters, the word abilities matter, damn, man, you seriously do have something very special in your hands, because again, you have such a deep roster of characters.
Oh yeah. Also, don't be afraid to add telepaths. Like, have them like take over an opponent's character while your character's on standby or something. There's a lot you could do with the abilities, man. Don't even get me started on what you could do with Reed Richards in the Fantastic Four. Like, Invisible Woman, I have multiple ideas for her. Oh, this is just going to be me doing multiple ideas.
You can just go on and on. I know I mentioned earlier, like, there's big names missing from this. And I wonder why they're missing. Maybe it's something that the team over at NetEase are going like, man, how do we make Captain America as fun as Spider-Man or Doctor Strange? And they just haven't fully came up with it. Or same thing with Thor. Those are the two biggest names I think that are missing. Alongside somebody like, I guess, Wolverine. Those are probably the three most notable names, I would say.
Or Doctor Doom. I mean, it's...
Yeah, because he's the overarching villain of this thing, that you gotta assume it's gonna be a little bit like Doomfist in Overwatch. To where you'll eventually get him, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Iron Man, who's Pharaoh. I mean, justice reigns from above with him.
It's just... there's the, again, it's a thing where this game, it looks good. You see the foundation of something really fun here, and you're just hoping they stick the landing. And I'm very curious to see, when does that alpha start? In May?
May, I think they said 3rd?
Yeah. I'm curious to see how that closed alpha does, because feedback from the players is going to be key as well. I don't know, man. I'm very excited for this. I love the trailer that we got. The team attacks, the last thing I'll say, the team attacks I think might be the big thing. Even over destructible environments, which is something I adore in video games. But the team attacks is something, you said you wanted that in Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about it till you just said it. Now I want that in Overwatch 2 as well. So, at the very least, maybe this might help Blizzard, who are leaving that PvE space that hasn't been working for them, and it seems like they're going to go full-on back into PvP and fixing Overwatch 2. Maybe they could look at what NetEase and Marvel are doing with this game and go like, you know what? Those are some good ideas. Because competition, in my opinion, makes everything better.
Yeah. But Taylor, do you want to know one of the things I'm most excited about? Not like my most excited thing, but one of the things I'm most excited about?
What's that?
That this Namor costume that he has will be given to the MCU or the comics or both, because that Namor costume is so dope. I have never wanted to play Namor more. I've never wanted to have him appear more. It's like, goddamn, who knew turning your aquatic dude into a surfer man just like... I don't know what it is. Aquaman and Namor both get turned into surfer men in different places, and it just works for them.
Gonna be real, would you? Namor was the lamest character in this for me, abilities-wise. This man was just throwing spears.
I barely saw his abilities, to be honest, but I hope like they do like stuff with his with water manipulation, since he has a spear. His spear allows him to manipulate water to a degree. So I'm hoping that they do something with that.
Again, that's the thing, man. With the roster you have, you don't have to... It's both a blessing and a curse, because you don't have to make up the lore. Marvel's already done this work for you. So you just have to adapt it in fun ways. And in a way, that restricts you. But in a way, that also makes it easier, I would think. Because you have these rules that you kind of have to go by, and you know, like, okay, this character isn't going to fit for our game. Oh no, this character really would. For example, just going to bring him up again, Doctor Strange. Being able to create portals. And his ability, I don't know really what he was doing with his ultimate, but I think he was using the Eye of... what's it called?
Agamotto.
The Eye of Agamotto. And yeah, you can see why he would fit into this game. Loki, who can mimic abilities and turn into other characters, and then it seems like he can also create decoys, fits perfectly into a game like this.
I can't wait to see what they do with Storm. I bet she's the reason why they haven't used Storm. Oh, it's like, we can't have two lightning users here right now.
So many X-Men can be used in this. This could have just been an X-Men game, honestly.
Dude, after X-Men 97 with Cyclops using his lasers to, like, jet around, it's like, I want him to do that in the game if he gets at it. It's like, oh yeah, I blast people, I can jet back, and then I can do combos on the guy behind me. Boom, baby.
I've only gotten the chance to see the first 5 minutes of X-Men 97, but I came away from that and went, man, if they fuck this up, this is the biggest fuck up in the history of Marvel.
Because
this seems like the biggest slam dunk that they've had in years. Because the first 5 minutes of X-Men 97 is amazing. And it immediately tells the audience, like, hey, you know what, guys? We get you. Cyclops hasn't been shown to be a major deal. He's been kind of a jackass in these movies. Nah, this guy's cool as shit. Here he is.
Taylor, when I tell you get those other 15 minutes, dude, Cyclops has an amazing moment. Just watch the rest of it. I'm not going to spoil anything.
I'm trying to let some of the episodes pass before getting back into it. Because I keep hearing good things, and I'm like, okay, the first 5-ish minutes I saw of it was really good. I'm going to try to wait while I can here. while Invincible is also going on, and I have something to watch weekly and take my mind off of X-Men 97. But let's stop talking about Marvel here. Let's get into our other stories of the week, and then we'll get out of here. In our other stories of the week, Jack Black can't believe nobody has adapted GTA or Red Dead Redemption to film. With Drew on board here today, I figured we'd bring a little Nerd Stop Movies into this Power Up and Game show. Jack Black has kind of become the video game liaison to Hollywood as of late. It seems like he's really trying to bring some game adaptations to the big screen. His roles as Bowser in the Super Mario Bros. Movie and as Claptrap in the upcoming Borderlands film are just examples of that. While talking with Total Film, Jack Black was asked what other games deserve the Hollywood treatment. Here's what Black had to say. Quote, "I can't believe they haven't already started making a movie of any of the Rockstar games, Grand Theft Auto, but especially Red Dead Redemption. Those things are already like movies, you know. I guess that's the thing. Some video games are already halfway there to telling those kinds of stories, and there are some movies that are like video games. Did you ever see that Black Mirror motion picture called Bandersnatch, where you actually choose your own adventure at the end of the scenes? It's like, ooh, do you take the red pill or the blue pill? I think we're moving in that way where there's going to be more combinations of video games and movies, and it's exciting. It's like the beginning of a new era," end quote. Drew, what is your take on Black's comments here? Also, do you have any interest in seeing a movie or a television adaptation of either GTA or Red Dead Redemption?
Honestly, like, just to answer the second question first, yes. I mean, like, GTA a little less so because I'm not tied to the GTA stuff, but honestly, like,
we've also already covered the GTA movie, Drew, over on Nerdstop Movies. It's called Heat. Go watch Heat, people. It's the perfect GTA movie.
It really is. But, like I said, I'm not tied to the GTA franchise. That is a me thing. It is not anything against the franchise. I just didn't get to grow up with it because I come from a very poor background, guys. I'm sorry. Anyway, Red Dead Redemption. I mean, I think one of the best things about Red Dead Redemption is the side quests in it that help make the story come alive. But I do think it'll work as an adaptation. I just think it's perfect as a video game, though. Honestly, if there was another video game that needed an adaptation, it's one that we've been spoofing on this entire review. We need an Overwatch adaptation.
Yeah, I mean, Blizzard has tried with the PvE stuff, and it hasn't worked for a variety of reasons that we just can't get into because that's going to be a 30-minute conversation. And I do wonder if the answer to them adding more story to it would be something like, hey, let's do a movie. Or let's do
an anthology
some
series.
More animated, you know, those animated shorts they used to do. Like, do a television show. Like, something that brings more eyes to the franchise and could help you tell the story that you were trying to tell. Then people can go and play your PvP game. You know, it should be, you're helping both things out, the show / movie and the game. Instead, Overwatch has really just screwed the pooch in regards to really everything with Overwatch 2.
Yeah. Thing of Overwatch and its PvE cutscenes and everything is that it doesn't really feel like story. It feels like those old cutscenes where it's like, oh, this happens, and then the gameplay happens in between. And then this happens and everything's cool, but nothing actually of the characters changed. I think the biggest egregiousness of this was Reinhardt meeting Bastion for the first time. It's like, this is the same machine that killed a lot of his comrades, and he's just cool with him after one fight. It's like, I don't know, the PTSD should probably be a little stronger, guys. It's like, having something that's a bit more in there would be cool, but yeah. I agree with Jack Black. We need more video game adaptations, but I feel like we also need to reserve them for some older stuff because a lot of games are cinematic, a bit too cinematic, to the point where I don't really need an adaptation. I just, because I've already got it. I've played it. Is all I need to do. It's like do stuff like old Legend of Zelda games, or stuff like if you want to do something, cinematic and everything. It's like a Super Smash Bros. Movie would be pretty cool, where they we have the Nintendo characters all coming together to like face off against something. I mean, those have some story in it, but really it's more just fights, fights, fights. So you could add some more substance to it.
Well, that was the big joke too about the Mario Bros. Movie, as it was going to end with like Sonic being the Nick Fury, being like, let me tell you about the Super Smash Bros. Initiative.
I would so love that.
I think that'd be a good idea. I really do. Yeah. I think it'd be a good idea to Smash Brothers movie. I believe, unless I imagine this, didn't Netflix announce a Legend of Zelda thing?
Netflix did announce that they were going to try and do Legend of Zelda, but they got a huge yeah, backlash when they said it was live action. Everyone was like, no, keep it animated.
Yeah, look, in a lot of instances, I'm for them trying live action with stuff. With Zelda, that's one of those franchises that I think no matter where you stand on animation versus live action, I think you could look at it and understand why animation would be the best choice.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you tried a Mario Brothers movie in live action. Wait, that already happened.
My eyes.
To talk about this Jack Black thing, though, real quick, and then we can move on. Yeah, I agree with him, man. I think video game movies can be the next... I guess I could say the next trend for moviegoers. Because as of late, we've seen superhero movies not completely trail off, but we're seeing the quality of them dip. We're seeing less of them just be successful overall. And that's not to say like superhero movies won't have their place in the theaters anymore. I strongly believe they will. But there's an opening, just like there is with Overwatch and Marvel Rivals. There's an opening there for some genre to come in and be the next big trend. And I think it could be video game adaptations. And we've seen a stretch, whether it be The Last of Us or the Super Mario Bros. Movie, to whereas you've had really good adaptations. And it no longer is that joke where you can't have a good video game adaptation. The days of the Resident Evil movies that are completely awful, like, those are starting to become long gone. Like, yeah, there's some bad to mid adaptations. Looking at you, Uncharted. But
I'm looking at Halo.
That too. But you also have a lot of fantastic adaptations to look at as well. And yeah, GTA could be one. I know I made the joke that Heat's just GTA, but you can make a good Grand Theft Auto movie or a show. And the same thing with Red Dead Redemption. Man, if they adapt Red Dead Redemption, I've said this before on this podcast, Red Dead Redemption would be a killer television series on like HBO. Start with the second one, go to the first one in like season 2 or 3, and then you can do whatever you want to end the story. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, and just to give you some background on this here, Drew, it's kind of funny this topic has come up, actually. Because Michael and I were talking about this like 2 weeks ago. Because there was a feature over on the nerdstash.com of like what horror franchises deserve the Hollywood treatment. And we decided to throw our own picks into the mix. One of my suggestions was Dead Rising. We end up reviewing the adaptation for Dead Rising, Dead Rising Watchtower. That movie's actually pretty decent. So it doesn't even have to have like this massive HBO budget for it to be at least fun.
Like, I don't really know how to follow that up, because it's like, you're just right. Like, I can't really say anything besides you're just right.
But Michael's not here today, and it's technically my show right now. Sorry, Drew. I figured we'd close out our show with a story that Michael would probably groan about. No Man's Sky is still alive with a new update that adds ship customization to the game. Called Orbital, this is the game's 27th major update. Space station exteriors and interiors have been updated with new shops and activities. The interiors will be customized based on system, race, and locale. We're also getting a ship editor, which, as a No Man's Sky fan, has been the number one item on my wish list for the game for probably the last 2+ years. Drew, are you a fan of No Man's Sky? Also, do you have any thoughts about this update? I just want to repeat here. This is the 27th major update.
I'm honestly surprised the game is still alive. I thought it died back in 2016 when it released.
Suicide Squad killed the Justice League could never. That's all I'm going to say. And I hope I'm wrong. I'm hoping it could somehow turn it around and there's 30 major updates and I sound like an idiot.
Nah, I'd be wrong. That storyline was trash. It doesn't deserve to live.
Yeah, I agree, but still besides the point. For the people who did like the game.
You guys definitely have some unique tastes, I'll give you that. Anyway, No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky. Wow, I did not know you guys were alive. The 27th update. Man, you guys really wanted to make up for the bad blood you gave fans. I hope you got your money back. I really do, because that's a lot of work and effort. You guys really stayed in there, so.
Not only that, but Hello Games, I know you're not a big video game guy, Drew, because you got so many things going on that, you know, it's video, or it's movies, it's comics, you got a whole lot going on. But
yeah,
I don't know if you know this, Hello Games has a whole nother game they're working on called Light No Fire.
Is that a sequel to their other game, The Last Campfire?
No, it's, I don't know if you saw the trailer for it. It's basically a lot like No Man's Sky, but on a singular planet. And it seems like it's just No Man's Sky on steroids.
Okay. It's like, honestly, that sounds interesting. I might check that out. But for any puzzle game users out there, The Last Campfire is actually pretty decent. I would recommend.
But with No Man's Sky here, I'm sorry, I completely derailed your take.
Yeah, like I was saying, like, ship customization is pretty good. Like, I gotta ask Taylor, because I haven't been there, have the planets gotten better?
Oh yeah, by a large margin. I don't think they're absolutely perfect to where it's all generated, you know what I mean? So I don't think it's going to be perfect just because of the way it is. But it's not lifeless anymore.
Okay.
You got alien life, you got settlements, you got, in certain plants, giant sandworms that, you know, jump out of the ground.
What is with sci-fi and giant sandworms?
Ask the Dune franchise, man. I blame them for it.
I don't even get why Dune does it, and you know what? I'm not even going to get into that right now. All I gotta say is, like, it's amazing that they've gotten that 27 updates, and to give the player, and still go and give the players what they want with customization of their ship's interior and exterior is pretty cool. And it gives it a uniqueness so that every player can feel like they've made their own ship. They're traveling space in their own style. So that's pretty cool. No Man's Sky, I can't give you my seal of approval, but you have my respect.
I can give you my seal of approval. Like, there's a thing where I get the mindset that, hey, you know what? The game should have launched in a good state when it did. I get it. And I think what a lot of games you can say that for. There's just something about No Man's Sky and the way they've done business and the way that they've released these updates that I have to give them that seal of approval. They have, it's not even out of, oh yeah, this is me doing it by choice. They have forced me to give them that seal of approval because of how much they've added to this game. Because of them not willing to quit on this game and continue updating it. Because for the third time, this is their 27th major update. They could have stopped years ago, and I think people would have been like, man, good comeback. They're still doing it. And it seems like they're still going to continue doing it. So, props to them, man. Props to Hello Games. Props to No Man's Sky. If you are a game that launched in a bad state, like we joked about with Suicide Squad, you need to look at No Man's Sky. because that is the way you need to go. Let's get out of here though, Drew. Let's talk about what we're working on and where can people find us. What you're working on and where can people find you?
You can find me on my Instagram and my Twitter. I am DrewGarrison_. Just FYI, I did do a hot take recently for my on my Twitter. Sorry in advance, Legend of Korra fans.
Ooh. Be sure to check that out. I'm not on Twitter, but I'm kind of curious to what that take is. As for me, you can find me in our Discord, the link for which is in the description of this episode. Also, be sure to check out both Nerds Top Movies and The Long Box Hunters, where you'll hear more from Drew Garrison. Lastly, be sure to check out thenerdsesh.com for all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. Whether it's lists, guides, opinion pieces, you need it, you can find it over at thenerdsesh.com. I want to thank Drew for joining me for this special episode. This came together very last minute, and I seriously appreciate you joining in. I want to thank anyone for listening in. We will be back next week with a more proper episode and Michael back at the helm. We'll see you then.
Heroes never die.